Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord.
Amen.
You know, end time speculation is one of those areas that most people are curious about. It's very popular to play in. You get lots of questions on it in the parish. And the church in America has been especially preoccupied with the whole question of when the end is going to come. So much preoccupied that for many American Christians, their entire religious practice is caught up in trying to predict the chronology and the events of the end times. The scriptures get reduced to one book, Revelation, and the entire object of Bible study becomes not Jesus, not salvation, not the search for what God has to say to his people, but the drawing of parallels between current events and what they think the message of the text is. There's even an entire industry that feeds the paranoia of some believers and spawns such literary gems as the late great Planet Earth, or more recently, the Left Behind series, which is not even good fiction, let alone good theology. Might I suggest that the newspaper, cable news broadcasts, or even bad fiction is not the best interpretive lens with which to read the scriptures? Of course, I guess I shouldn't just blame American Christianity, because the problem is not unique to us. We've taken end-time speculation to new heights, but we didn't invent it. In fact, it's only natural if you tell somebody that the world is going to end someday, they're going to ask when. The problem is that when might not be the right question to ask. In fact, you can see in our reading, Jesus is asked the question of when regarding the destruction of the temple, and his answer has nothing to do with when or the time it will occur. Jesus and his disciples are coming out of the temple, and one of the disciples remarks, "Teacher, behold what wonderful stones and what wonderful buildings." I know it sounds like President Wenthe giving a campus tour. But the disciples talking about the temple, one massive, impressive structure, the sight of which was truly awe-inspiring. So the answer that Jesus gives must have been quite shocking. Not one stone will be left upon another which will not be torn down. They then go over to the Mount of Olives, which afforded a great view back towards the temple. And this view of the temple allowed them to ask the obvious question, tell us when will these things be and what will be the sign that these things are going to be fulfilled? And Jesus' answer, see to it that no one misleads you. Be on your guard. What is he talking about? Be on guard for what? Let no one deceive you about what? Jesus is not telling his disciples, or you for that matter, to be on guard for the end times, or not to be misled in the sense of missing the tie-in between some current event and the start of the end times. He's telling his disciples not to be distracted by the events going on around them. There will be wars and rumors of war. There will be famines. There will be persecutions. But these events will not be the end. He's telling him not to be misled by those coming in the name of Jesus and claiming that I am he. In other words, he's telling his disciples, and you for that matter, the focus of your Christian life is not the end times. There will be wars, there will be famines, there will be persecutions, and you as Christians are not to be distracted by these. Preoccupation with the end times is simply not the way the followers of Jesus are to live. In fact, this entire exchange can be seen as Jesus preparing his disciples to be his disciples during a time when his presence with them will not be in the same way that his presence has been up to this point. They are not to let the events that happen around them keep them from what they're supposed to be about. Jesus says these things must take place, but that is not yet the end. So if Christians are not to be overly focused on predicting the end times, what are we supposed to do while we wait for the end to come? What are we not to be distracted from? What are we supposed to be focused on? Well, the obvious answer, spreading the word, missions, evangelism. Jesus tells his disciples about all the trouble that they have coming their way. They will deliver you up to the courts. You will be flogged in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings for my sake. And now here comes the important part. As a testimony to them, the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Wars, famines, and persecutions are to be seen as opportunities for evangelism. In fact, all events can be seen as opportunities for evangelism. Christians are not to get distracted by all the events that happen around them because the gospel must continue to go out. We, of course, live in a time that's very different from that of the disciples. The world we live in seems to be far more complex and far more dangerous. But we, like the disciples, are not to be distracted from our mission. This means we are not to let terrorist attacks, sluggish economies, cultural hostility, or even congregational budget crises keep us from spreading the word. This is what Paul is getting at when he tells Timothy to preach the word in season and out of season. It doesn't matter what season it is, the word must be preached. In fact, think about it this way. What Jesus is really getting at here is not evangelism as law, go and do not be distracted, but evangelism as that which the church does. If the signs of the end include wars and famines and persecutions, it also includes the spreading of the gospel. Despite the opposition of the world, the gospel goes forth because that is what it does. The gospel going out must happen, and as long as the gospel continues to go out, the end is not yet. And the gospel message that we go out with is not that the end is coming, but that Jesus came. He lived, died, and lived again so that all may live. You as Christians carry within you an identity as children of God, children born in the waters of baptism, children fed by the very body and blood of the Lord in communion. Eternal life is already yours. And you can share that life with others by telling them about the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And it won't even be you that speaks, but the Holy Spirit. The church is about the mission of making disciples of all nations, not by trying to find a one-to-one correspondence between current events and biblical events. The Bible is not the playbook for the end of the world. Current events are not the interpretive key to the Scriptures. Jesus is the key to the Scriptures. The Scriptures testify of Jesus. The object of Bible study is not to predict the end, but to learn of Christ. In fact, it is only by Jesus that you will endure to the end and ultimately be saved. You will not be distracted by world events or turned away from the course of your faith because Jesus himself is with you. He was with his disciples on the Mount of Olives explaining to them what was to come. He is with you right here and right now telling you the same thing. Amen.